Episode 486, June 15th, 2020.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
A f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and now it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
What's up, everybody? Rob and Joe Show back together again in the world headquarters, the studio here. And what city is this called that you live in?
We're in Millersville.
Millersville, Maryland. The home of the 2024 presidential candidate, Larry Hogan.
Is he from Millersville?
No, he's from Maryland.
Oh, I gotcha. You're being a little bit. Yeah, is that official?
I'm just theorizing.
I tweeted out. Like 3 months ago, I can't wait for Larry Hogan to be the Republican nominee, so all Democrats can just start shitting all over. You follow what I'm saying? Which will happen. Meanwhile,
yes,
he's probably the furthest left of any governor, Republican governor in the United States. I don't think it's close.
I agree. Yeah. We don't want to talk politics, but that's my bad.
Is that? I guess it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to the show. What do we got in chat, Joe?
Here's what we got. We got a lot of the norm, the regulars. Mm-hmm. We got no more pretzel for me, and we have puked listening. Now, that, of course, is I don't want to repeat it, but if you want to go back, it was extremely popular among anybody that I spoke to regarding last week's episode and what we found out Katie did as a child. And real quick, by the way, we should.
The least attractive thing that's ever been said
about
or
Katie.
Reported on about Katie.
No question about it.
Other than her love of you.
And yeah, that's true. And she said, hi, one of my brother remembers this. Now, how couldn't he? She remembered it. He's 4 years older than her, which, again, we talked about this last week. And again, I'm not going to repeat it because I gag when I talk about it. But anyway. She asked him if he remembered, and he goes, yeah, of course I remember. It was delicious. God, even thinking about that. But anyway, you got puked listening. You got no more pretzel for me. You got Billy Ocean. Now, if you listened last week, we were talking about the musical guests on Saturday Night Live. Your dream.
Yes.
If you could have anybody in the world.
In what era.
Right. And I started saying how the Beatles couldn't count because they weren't a band during the Saturday Night Live years. And Robbie goes, oh, then I have to go to my second choice because my first choice was the Beatles. Uh-huh. My second choice, of course, who? Billy Ocean. And I belly laughed. We both belly laughed here when he said Billy Ocean because if you listen to him, he, of course, was dead serious, which is, it's not funny otherwise. If it's a joke, then,
yes.
Then, but if it's, he's dead serious, that's hilarious. And then I listened back to the show, which I often do, and I fucking belly laughed again. And then I texted you guys about how fucking hilarious it was when Robbie said Billy Ocean. But Billy
Bravo, Robbie.
Billy Ocean is in chat.
Thank you.
Here's a bunch of others. Guest 365. Okay, forget all those people. That person, regular.
I think it's more important to point out who's not in chat.
Well, we'll get there. But Chris Carlheim, and that's the producer I was trying to think of. I know Chris, but he's the producer on my buddy that works for WBAL. That's not really him. That's somebody who I
guess wouldn't know that.
Figured his name. What's that?
Who would know who that is?
Well, I mean, it's not hard to figure out.
All right.
Who the producer Chris on WBAL? That's I doubt that's him, but maybe who knows? Maybe it is. They can certainly comment. 54 week itch. And that's the person that adds the, is in there. And then,
it's a good bit. Keep it going.
There's some more in there. There's some regulars, Bench Warmer, Baby Eater, Robbie. But and then just with the numbers. But then there's a I just saw one. Where did they go? Oh, Gleeful Person. So that must do they give you an automatic name, Robbie, or is that some
that's
reference?
A yeah no that's a chat generated name.
I like it. Keep it.
But hey, Amazing Caucasian. That's he came up with that one himself.
Real quick, I mentioned we were talking about Prince on SNL, and our friend Tony Otero, who we went
huge
to see Prince
with. I've seen Prince with Tony twice.
All right.
I've seen Prince three times, but twice with Tony.
And the most recent time, one of his last concerts in Baltimore about 4 or 5 years ago, he said, listen to the podcast, Prince was on SNL and performed Bat Dance and Electric Chair from Batman soundtrack, which makes sense. That was the biggest movie of all time.
You know what?
Time.
That's a really underrated album.
It is.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, what's it called? Yeah. Just the Batman soundtrack?
Maybe it's called Bat Dance. Maybe it is just Batman soundtrack.
God, it's really, really good. But people don't really even mention it when they talk about the great Prince albums. Or what's the best? Is it Sign of the Times or is it 1999?
I mean, Purple Rain is the most iconic because of the movie.
But if you were to say the best, yeah, I know it sounds a little unfair.
Well, Sign of the Times is like twice the song.
God,
so it's
Sign
like,
of the Times is
just it's a double album, so it literally has twice the song.
It's
it's probably my favorite.
Yeah, it's my favorite. Yeah. And it's got everything.
I like the Under the Cherry Moon soundtrack.
What's on that?
Is that Raspberry Beret?
No, that's
that
Around the World in a Day.
Kiss is on.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Because Around the World in a Day has a...
Mountains.
Paisley Park, and it has Raspberry Beret on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Talking music on the show. Who is it in chat, Robbie?
This segment brought to you by Making Podcasts Great Again, starring J.L. Covan as President Trump. Follow them on Twitter, @TrumpPod, and listen via all your favorite podcast platforms.
Gramps.
Why's that?
Actually, Benchwarmer just said, where the fuck is Gramps? He said TF. I guess he didn't want to type a bad word. But yeah, Robbie was telling us before the show, and I made him stop so he could tell it on the air, but Robbie was clearly stressed out by the fact that why he wasn't in.
Well, the way Robbie worded it, it stressed me out because you said Gramps has a virus.
Yeah, you're right. He did say that, but then he eventually said it was. Because if he has a... By the way, if you say somebody has a
not
virus...
Not that virus.
I know.
Well, that's where I went.
Well, what I'm saying is that if you say, oh, Gramps has a virus, if he really had an actual virus, it wouldn't be the coronavirus, or you'd lead with that.
You'd say the virus.
Yeah, he wouldn't say a virus.
Right. But he has a virus on his computer?
On his computer. This is my very, very best guess, and I'm...
And this is a new laptop, correct? It's a laptop or a desktop?
This is his... It's a relatively new laptop. We got it for him, I guess, last summer.
Okay.
He constantly has a problem getting on the internet because he refuses to shut his computer down at the end of the night, right?
Mm-hmm.
So every time he loses internet connection, I say, shut it down. Not turn it off with the button. Shut it completely down. Every time he brings it back up, the internet works. I say, just do that every night.
I never do that.
So, well, with his computer, for some reason, it happens. So I just tell him, just go ahead and shut it down. He won't have the problem anymore. So he calls me, tells me he can't get on the internet again. Well, the big problem is, if he can't get on the internet, that means I can't get on his computer.
Right, right. You can't remote it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know where the modem is. He doesn't know where the wireless router is.
He doesn't even know where the button is down there to see what networks are available. He doesn't know that.
Well, how do we know he has a virus?
Well, I'm getting there.
Okay, sorry.
So it's okay. So he...
God, Robbie'd rather be talking about his neighbors than this.
Yeah. So he gets down there and he unplugs the modem, gets that restarted, tries again. He goes, no, I'm still... Well, turn it off, turn it on again, still nothing. Then he calls me back. You know what? I think something might happen. I clicked on something today.
God,
Jesus.
Oh, boy.
What'd he click on? Naked lady picture.
Well, I just want to say, you know, what is he missing these last few months that he normally gets his fix of?
Yeah, black women hitting on him. Yeah.
Yes. There's sites for that.
So he says, it said, in order to view this, you need to stop Firefox. I'm like, why would you click on something
like
that?
Oh, my God.
Why do you need to stop Firefox? That doesn't make any logical sense. That's not even your default browser. Why? He goes, oh, well. He goes, I think Andy Boma sent me something I had to look at. Hey, guess what? I'm sure that email wasn't even from Andy Boma. It was just spoofing his name.
Yeah.
If you looked at the email address, it's probably from, you know, XPY at Vladimir.ru. So he clearly got something. And that's the first symptom of a virus, is it disconnects you from the internet. So anyway.
How do you fix it?
You pay the ransom, right?
I can't fix it.
You pay the extortion money, right?
He hasn't got the ransom note yet, but
So the only thing he can do is wipe his hard drive and start over?
Can he just geek squat it?
Yeah, that's what I told him to do. I said, go to Best Buy. There's a counter, geek squat. He goes, I don't know what that is. I said, go to Best Buy.
God.
There's a counter there called Geek Squad. You'll see it there. If you don't see it, go ask, where's the Geek Squad? Take it to him. Tell him you clicked on something you shouldn't have. You got a virus.
And then give him $300.
And when did that happen? When did you have this conversation
today,
with him?
Apparently.
It had to be because...
this was just an hour ago.
Oh, and he's not thrilled right now. I guarantee you that he is not listening to this show. But Best Buy's open right now, right?
I would imagine, yeah.
Why doesn't Dad just get in his car and go there right now?
I didn't ask him when he was going to do it.
Can we call him, get him on the show?
Is he too busy?
We can try to call him.
Yeah, give him a call. Let's do that.
Give me a minute.
It's not like Chris or Steve. You can call him immediately.
Yeah, he's got him on speed dial. By the way, I want to talk about the Zoom show that I did. But
explain that.
If we're going to get Gramps, this is probably a longer story.
Okay.
So, but
do you think Tawana should just be hitting on Gramps so he can get his black girl fix in the meet, you know,
yeah,
throughout the situation?
If she would be so kind. But, you know, he's used to some...
larger...
Yeah, that's not his type, right? She's not quite. Her ethnicity is correct,
right,
but it's not really his go-to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to ask her to put on weight for this.
She gains 100 pounds, so Gramps will be. I'm sure he's fine with the size that she is, yeah.
Have we ever called Gramps before?
Hey, Dad, it's Rob and Joe and Robbie.
Gramps, you're on the podcast.
You're on the air, Dad.
Yeah, you're on the air. We're calling you because we're talking about what happened to you, and Robbie already kind of filled us in, but are you going to, what's stopping you from getting in your car right now and going to Best Buy?
Well, I'm going tomorrow morning.
Okay. All right. And you're going to tell them that you clicked on something that you shouldn't have?
Well, apparently I did. I mean, the thing came up, it said, Firefox is already running. If you want to watch this, click, to turn it off or whatever, and I clicked it, and apparently that's what did it.
So just out of curiosity, did you ever ask the person, because Robbie already gave the first and last name of the person, they'll be in chat next week, obviously, but that sent you the email, did you ever ask him if he sent you an email?
You talking about the email about my video of me pleasuring myself?
I don't know. Hold on. Get out of that. And go into this what you're talking about now. What are you talking about? Did somebody send you an email?
I don't remember exactly what it was now. I think it was some kind of a video that Andy Boma sent.
That you think. Yeah. But then I said, did you ever call Andy Boma?
I can't remember for sure.
Did you go to Andy Boma and ask him if he actually sent you a video?
No.
Okay.
He probably didn't.
He probably did. That's what I'm saying. So that's the first thing I would do. So then you'd know whether or not. Because it's 100% a virus if he didn't send you an email. Now, hold on. Tell me about this email. What did they do? Say, give us money or we're going to send out a video of you pleasuring yourself?
Yeah, I got two of them, one day and one 2 days later. And it was a big, long email. And it said that if I didn't go to Bitcoin and send them $2,000, they were going to... put a video of me pleasuring myself and all kind of stuff on Facebook.
Good bit.
Now,
I'm assuming you didn't pay them off, correct?
By the way, I didn't send them $2,000.
Well, my thing is that they're really talking to the wrong guy because there's no way in hell you're going to figure out how to send $2,000 in Bitcoin to anybody. They literally didn't know their audience. So I knew immediately it was a scam when they asked you to try to send Bitcoin.
Was that email from Erica Woodworth? It sounds like an Eric or Tommy bit.
I don't know. It was both of them were the same, but they had two different names, and they were strange names. And they had my old password, that I don't even use anymore.
In the subject line.
What's that?
Your password is in the subject line. That's how they get you to open it.
Perhaps you should change your password from Mac Bergson to something else.
Hey, Dad, who would watch that video? You're fine. Nobody would watch that. You're safe as anything.
I would like it out of respect, but I wouldn't watch it.
First of all, there wasn't any such video.
Because you haven't jerked off in 50 years? Like, what is it that, what makes you so sure that such video doesn't exist?
It's getting uncomfortable.
Yeah. How do you know it doesn't exist?
Because I never took a video of me pleasuring.
Well, that's not how they would get it. By the way, they don't have it. But the idea is this. If you're going to do that, maybe some people do. Dad, I don't know if you know that, but some people jerk off to pornography, right? Some people, we have some friends, maybe some of them build armor out of stop signs, that jerk off multiple times a day, okay? So that's a real thing that people do. And when they do it with, usually with a laptop or their phone.
Yeah.
And both your laptop and your phone have cameras on it. Now, they don't realize that you have no idea how to, you're the only man in America that doesn't know how to find porn on the internet. They don't know that. So with that being said, you're safe, but you taking a video is different than them having a video, right?
And besides that, I'm sure they send it out to 100 people.
Oh, a
and
million.
One person is scared and sends them the money.
I think 100 is a lot lower than the number.
Yeah, it's a numbers game. Does the chat have any questions for Gramps?
Yeah, because Benchwarmer says, can we raise $2,000 to see the video? And I think that's a ridiculous statement. Now, granted, it's my father, okay? I got it. So I'm not going to watch it.
I should have asked him to show me the video before I sent him the money.
Well, I will say this, is that I'm going to tell you of my friends who 100% would watch the video. Justin Schlegel would watch the video.
100%.
Eric he would Woodworth, jerk off to the video.
Eric Woodworth would watch the video.
They'd watch it together.
Tommy Cimbazzo would watch the video.
Yes.
Erica Young would watch
the
video.
Well, they can't
video.
Watch a video yes. that doesn't exist.
I'm just saying if it existed. Those four would watch it. That's a fact. They
Somebody in our chat would watch it.
Obviously, Benchwarmer would watch it. Oh, Jeremy Woodworth would watch
it. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
How many Patreons could we get if we had a video that we could
All
post?
Of them.
Oh, we break the internet. So I do know. Let me ask. Here's a real question.
Mm-hmm.
Who is less likely to watch that video?
Billy Ocean.
Me or Chris Restivo?
Chris Restivo.
He is less likely. Yeah.
But barely.
I'm not watching it, Dad. You're safe. Your secret's safe with me.
You would watch Chris Restivo over Gramps, though.
Oh, if there was a video of Chris Restivo jerking off, 100%, I would watch it. I would watch it. Matter of fact, Dad, can you forward me that email? We'll send it to Chris Restivo. I'm just kidding.
He's into the cryptocurrencies.
Don't forward it, Dad. You're somehow going to screw up and send this guy.
No. Just forward it directly to Chris Restivo. You have his email.
He's not going to. Don't even attempt to forward an email, Dad. I don't want you doing that. Yeah. All right, well, look, Dad, this is going to be available. You're going to go to the Geek Squad. You're going to let them know. Tell those guys at the Geek Squad that there's potentially a video out there of you jerking off. No, I'm just kidding. Take it to them. Tell them you have a virus. You clicked on something you should have.
I don't think I'll tell them that.
Okay. And then you'll be able to hear this episode where, you know, you got some airtime. Anyway, all right. Love you, Dad. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Love you, Gramps. See you, bud.
Okay. I love you guys, and I will see you later.
Bye, Dad.
See you.
That was
Bye.
Successful. A Man. Successful conversation with Gramps. Is that the first no time he's we've called him?
Yeah. How about he thought we were talking about this? How the hell would we know about that? Did you know about that, Robbie?
Oh, yes, because he asks me every time he gets that email. He's gotten it three times, and he calls me every single time. I said, Dad, I already told you. Don't even look at those. Just delete them.
That was good. I was not expecting that. That well, came out of nowhere. It was excellent.
To talk about the email about the By the way, Robbie.
Pleasuring myself.
Hold on a second.
Do you think they said pleasuring himself in the email?
100% they did not. But, Robbie, why don't we know about
yes,
that email? Are you fucking kidding me?
Okay, well, I just assumed that everybody gets those emails. It was funnier revealed the way it was.
All
but
right.
Everybody gets those
but
emails,
But you got
right?
lucky.
You guys have gotten those emails.
Yes, but you got lucky because if we didn't call him, whatever.
But I just delete spam. I don't read them. And like, oh, what are they?
Yeah,
what's the
I
offer?
Never do, right. Yes. By the way, that would never make it into my inbox.
No, of course
that
not.
That would be sitting somewhere where I would just go in and delete it out of there.
Exactly.
Oh.
Anyway, let's take a break. We'll come back and pleasure ourselves. Robin Joshua.
Love is in the air. Or is it murder? Die Laughing Productions is back and ready to have some fun at the expense of TV's premier dating reality show, The Bachelor. We proudly present The Final Rose. Contestants vie for the heart of our beautiful bachelorette, but love truly is a battlefield. Before someone can find love and accept the final rose, some unlucky person will take their final breath. The Final Rose stars all of your incredibly lovable Die Laughing Productions performers, and as always, you, the audience. We have roles available for willing volunteers, and everyone will get a chance to solve our most shocking murder ever.
Two shows, Saturday, September 5th, at Magoobie's Joke House in Timonium. For tickets and more information, visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
The Robin Joe Show.
So there's life in the comedy world, Joe. I got some things that's happening, and you just did a sort of comedy show.
Yeah, so Mike Quinlan puts, along with Kim Ambrose, who is a former member of Die Laughing, they do this what's called the Second Saturday Shit Show. So mm-hmm. the second Saturday of every month, they put a show together where they, you know, a group of, they put up a roster of comedians together to do a show. Yeah,
at the Auto Bar in Baltimore.
Right. So they's like, we're going to do a Zoom call. And Mike Quinlan said, hey, will you do it? And I said, like I always say, if you need me, I'll do it.
Right.
But I do not want to do a Zoom comedy show. Right?
You don't want to just do material.
I don't. It's, look.
I get it.
I don't want to be
done
critical. I don't want to be critical of people who are supporting live comedy and doing everything they can to keep this art alive. I'm not want to be critical of that. So I go, I'll do it if you need me to, which I know that he doesn't. Right?
Of course not. He doesn't
but
need
not,
any one person.
It's not because of him. In order for a comedy show to be successful, I need to know if people are enjoying what I'm doing. And I have no fucking idea if they are. Also, I'm not necessarily painted in the best light if it's just my face and an entire show. Like, everything about it I don't want to do. He goes, well, what if I just interview you? I said, okay.
Cool.
Well, you can interview me, right? Of course, I'm on dead last.
Yeah.
In a roster of...
It's not good.
Of... I don't know, what were there, 9 people before me? I don't know if you were
saw it. I didn't really watch any of it. You only want to go last in a comedy show if it's a normal comedy show.
Right, and you're the headliner.
Two or three people and you're the headliner and you're getting paid
and you're making
95%.
The most money. Right. So anyway, so I'm like, okay. So I'm watching it, and you know what I'm doing? I'm laughing, but I'm on mute. They want everybody to be on mute. But I'm laughing because I want people, I want to support people, right? I don't know if I would normally laugh, but I'm making sure that people know, hey, you're supposed to be doing this. I'm doing it, right?
Is your face on? Is your video on?
My little face is on.
Yes.
The big face is the person who's
gotcha.
Performing, but you can see my little face, and my little face is enjoying what's going on. And I also made a joke. Did you hear that? So
I didn't hear any of it.
One of the comedians is performing. He's got all of his clothes in hangers behind him.
Uh-huh.
Okay? During his set, he makes a joke about being, hey, I'm a heterosexual, and he tells this joke. And I go, that's weird. By the way, this is just me saying something in the middle of the comics. I go, that's weird that he said that joke about being a heterosexual because he's literally performing from in his closet. Okay. Which I thought was funny. No laughs. Didn't get shit. Whatever. Doesn't matter. I'm trying to contribute,
yes.
Right? I'm trying to do what I'm supposed to do. Anyway, well, we're at the end and Mike starts asking me questions like he would. Hey, tell us about this. Why aren't you doing stand up anymore? What is it about this? I give an honest answer. Like, I'm not doing stand-up because I have a lot of other projects, but the real reason I'm not doing stand-up, if I didn't have anything else going on, I would try to do it. But I have to write all new material because my entire act, if I had 45 minutes, it was all about a life that I don't live anymore.
Right.
So I literally told a real story, right? And we're talking, all of a sudden, I'm looking at the chat, and like, this guy thinks he's on the radio. I'm there, you know what I'm saying? And they're shitting on me, right? And then somebody else says something, and this guy looks like he's going to fucking lose it. He's talking about somebody who's listening to me going, what the fuck's going on? Okay, so I see that, and of course, now I'm being affected by the chat that I read where they're shitting on me, right?
By the way, Tommy is fucking with you. He's just hitting the
brown
emoji.
That I like. That made me laugh. Right?
Over and over.
That doesn't bother me at all. That's my boy, so I'm fine with that.
But the other people don't know that.
Who cares? I mean, I don't care. It didn't bother me at all, right? But I enjoyed that. But anyway, the point is that when I'm reading that, then I write in chat, you're hurting feelings, right? Like, I'm letting them know, like, I can see it, but also I don't give a fuck,
yes.
Right? Whatever. I didn't, this was something that was asked of me, and all I'm doing is exactly what I was asked to do, right?
Do you know any of these people, or they know you?
Well, the people that are saying that clearly, I know Brian Preston, I know Petey Steele, and by you know, I enjoyed their what they did. I mean, I you know, they were funny or whatever. Whoever's shitting on me, I don't know. Okay. I honestly, I swear I couldn't give a fuck. I don't care, whatever. Especially because it wasn't necessarily, there wasn't a ton of people watching.
Well, no, if you're, it's not normal for you to be talking and then you just see somebody just shitting on you as you're talking.
Right, right.
So that would bother me.
Well, it didn't bother me because I knew that I would get to tell about that here.
Right, yeah.
And also, it's not necessarily, like, if everybody does stand up and then I'm supposed to close the show and they're like, why is he getting interviewed, right?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. Like, all of it, I don't, that's, whatever. None of it bothers me. Whatever. The idea that they're shitting on me when I can read it, obviously, that's a little weird, but whatever. But honestly, I don't even remember who said it. So none of it really affects me. Whatever. So I go, you guys are hurting feelings. And I hit send, and I realize I just sent it to Mike Quinlan. I didn't send it to the whole group, right? So now I'm like, now while I'm talking, I have to correct. I go, sorry, Mike, that was meant for the group. It was just a joke. But, you know, and that, it's, so while I'm trying to answer these questions. Yeah. Luckily, I talked maybe for 8 minutes tops, you know, and then I'm off of there. And here's another thing that happened. So the show starts at 8, maybe 7:30. Show starts at,
I think it was 7:30.
7:30. By the time I'm done, the sun is going down. Remember, I went to the beach to hang out with my father-in-law and my brother-in-law and some friends because they're on a golf trip and they wanted me to come down to play cards. That's where we are. Well, I go, hey, I have to do this show. I obligated myself to it, but as soon as we're done, I'll go come down to dinner. They're eating dinner downstairs in the hotel. Well, as I'm talking, it's getting darker and darker. Well, I'm in a room. I don't have any lights on. So when he starts talking to me, it keeps darker and darker. Then at the end, all you can see is my face in this pitch black room. It was, yeah, I didn't really fucking nail it, if I'm being honest. But, you know, that was me trying to support what those guys are doing, which I'm grateful that they're doing.
Well, right? I'm glad you did. So I have a comedy gig. You know, the Larry Hogan, our governor, aforementioned, said that on about a week ago, he had a press conference and said last Friday you could, I think, have some things are opening up. And then on the 19th, casinos would open up and performance venues. So I immediately texted Andrew Unger from McGoobies, and he goes, yeah, I'm watching this, you know, this is his livelihood. And then a few days after that, I said, hey, don't tell anybody yet, but I'm going to open on the 19th. And I said, hey, guess who's available? I am. And then a few days later, he goes, you want a feature? I said, of course. And so I'll be with Larry Lancaster, funny local comedian. He's headlining, very funny guy. And Todd Fleming will be the MC.
Oh, hell yeah.
Another funny local guy who's also been in our murder mystery as in the Christmas one the last couple years. This Friday and Saturday, 7:30 and 9:45 each night, 50% capacity. So, you know, you won't be sitting with strangers. If you're in a group, you sit with your group. If not, you know, there are all the things you have to do with, you know, Purell and sanitizing and everything.
You know who else is going to be there?
Who?
Katie and I were coming.
Fantastic.
I'm not going to pay one dime.
But of course not.
I am definitely going to be there.
Way to support.
God, speaking of distancing, I feel so bad about something. This just occurred to me. It wasn't something I planned on talking about. So we have people that are buying the house, not the house next door to us, but one over.
Okay.
The house on the very end is for sale. And Katie and I, we spent the entire Sunday on the patio, right? Out there, beautiful day, drinking, smoking cigars. Thank you to a certain listener. You know, smoking cigars, enjoying ourselves.
Did you go in there and look at it? Because Tawana always wants to go in our neighbors when there's an open house. And
didn't go in.
And spy.
Yeah.
And
didn't care.
But you know what they're selling it for, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
So there are people that put an offer on the house that was accepted. But nice. They were still having an open house, which I don't understand or whatever.
Okay.
And I'm meeting these people. And we're having fun with them or talking to them. We probably talked to them, without exaggeration, we probably talked to them for over 30 minutes, maybe more than that, right? Uh-huh. They're there. They're there with the people that are buying the house are there. They're there with their daughter, their son, the son's wife, their grandson. We're talking to all of them, this, that, and the other. They're great people. I can't wait for them to be neighbors, right?
So these are your, they're soon to be neighbors.
Yeah, but they're older. They're probably younger than my father, but they're probably in their 60s, okay. Right? Anyway, at the end of it, I go, hey, man, it's great to meet you. And he puts out his fist to bump, and I go, no, I'll shake hands. I force this guy to shake my hand. And then after I did that, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? You know what I mean? I made this guy who obviously wasn't comfortable with that shake. But I remember in my head, and I made a split decision. Mm-hmm. I'm like, he probably thinks that I'm requiring that he fist bumps me, but I want this guy to know. And then I fucked up.
Right. Did you say anything?
I didn't think about it until after I was done. I go, I shouldn't have done that. So now this guy who loved
they
me.
They pulled their offer.
Who knows, right? Who knows, right? So I regret having done that. It came from a good place, but yeah, I kind of fucked up at the end, if that makes sense.
Well, it is weird. I noticed, you know, watching the PGA golf this past weekend, they would fist bump, you know, in the round ends, you generally, the caddies and the players, you know, you play with another person, they usually shake hands.
Yeah.
Good round or whatever, but they fist bumped.
Right.
For comedy, are we going to, because normally when you go on stage.
Yeah, you shake the hand.
Right.
You're going to have to fist bump.
Yeah. Or are we going to have different mics for each person? I mean.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah. But you know what? Honestly, I mean, let's be honest.
I mean, I'm not going to.
You're going to be sitting back there in the green room with these guys. You know, I mean, it is what it is. You know, I mean, we're risking getting this in order to be on this show. And by the way, we talked about this. You can decide whatever you want, but I choose freedom. And that's what you're doing as well. You don't have to do it. But I choose freedom over whatever degree of safety is involved. And I don't care which way you go. I give you whatever liberty you want to make that decision.
I actually care now.
Yeah. Yeah, right, me too, but I'm trying to be cool. So now you're going to be in this room, but yeah, I mean, you think they're going to switch out the mic? I'll bet they do.
I mean, they have a wired and a wireless, so they could switch it out and just
and then
sanitize
clean it off
it.
While the other guy's on stage, or you could, the MC could walk up with it. Who knows?
Like when I work with Kechner, he always uses a wireless because he goes into the crowd. And I use the wired, so that actually is going to work out. There's only two of us.
Right.
So, but I am curious, you know, because I do think a lot of what's been going on in the world recently, part of, obviously, there's real issues is the root of it. But a lot of, the anger is from just, we've been missing out on all the things that keep us sane.
You know, you're right,
You know, just going out and hanging out in bars and restaurants and going to see movies and comedy shows and sports events and musicians. These things that, you know, communal things that make us realize that we don't all hate each other. When you take that away and you're just on social media all day, which is all about hate and taking things down.
Right.
And negative.
Right.
It's, you know, if there's a blizzard, you know, we're going to have bad weather. It's going to be 1,000 posts. It's going to have great weather. It's going to be one post. That's just the way that it is. So that seeps into your soul. So I am curious.
Maybe. Can I say something?
Yeah.
So today I had lunch with two coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You're back at work, I assume?
Well, I went into work today. Listen, I will go in. Honestly, whatever. I'll just go. But I'm respectful of boundaries that both my employer places and what other people place. I'm respectful. And if you don't care, then I will sit in your lap. I don't care. I choose liberty or freedom. Anyway, so today I was saying, this sounds bad, but I've loved the quarantine. I've loved it because now there are some things obviously that I miss. I miss seeing my friends when we do the murder mystery, right? Mm-hmm. I miss obviously people being able to watch sporting events. There are some things I miss, but you know what? I've been enjoying it. When I wake up in the morning, I walk my dog, which I have to do anyway. I make a cup of coffee, which I usually buy every morning. Then I sit down in a chair and I start working. No commute, no showering. No, nothing. And I start working.
Yeah.
And then I work. And then at lunchtime, I go and I walk my dog. Then I come back up and I open my thing. And once the work slows down, I go downstairs and I hop on my elliptical and I have my laptop sitting there in case anything urgent comes through. And I exercise and I watch a movie. And once that's done, I go back, I shower with seeing him jerk off. My computer's right there with the camera watching me shower every once in a while. Maybe I'll rub one out. I'm not
Joe
sorry,
Cam.
Dad, whatever, that happens. And then once that's done, I sit back down in the exact same blue chair, and I work until 5, and at 5 o'clock, I shut my laptop, and my day's over. And so then I get to go and hang out with my wife, which I probably would do. My friends still come over. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's nothing. You're here. You know, nothing has really changed. I probably saved a ton of money. So I've really been enjoying it. Anyway.
Yeah, this is good for privileged white males. So, if that's what you want in the world, if you want privileged white males to have it better, then you are pro lockdown.
But anyway, so I've been really enjoying it. And I said that to these two people, and they both go, me too. They both. Now, the one's a black woman. The other one is a Hispanic woman. So there goes your theory. But at the end of the day, there are some people that, especially if you're able to work from home, you know, you're probably not missing out on much, right?
Well, Zoom has skyrocketed, the stock. But I think there are people that, and companies now that maybe were hesitant to have people teleworking, whatever it's called, that's going to stay now.
A lot of cases. Will stay. Yeah, and for me, you think about
which means if you live in a city and the reason you live there is because you work in the city, well now wait, I can live in upstate New York and still work and pay a third.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, that's a big deal. And of course, even my other job, of all the jobs
I
have
in New Jersey
of all the jobs I have, the other job, I have to walk from that bedroom into this room. So, yeah, that's my commute.
Yeah.
And I come in here and I sit down and thank God for the Comrex that Robbie, the $3,500 piece of equipment that Robbie forced me to buy. It's a godsend. And I come in here and I'm right on the air. And again, we've talked about this, but, you know, whatever happens with the Ravens, if I'm not going to be on Ravens Walk and I'm doing it from here, I'm going to like that.
You're going to like that.
I'm going to like it a lot.
I'm curious with the comedy this weekend is that, I mean, obviously, if you're there, you're probably there to have a good time, and you're probably
right.
But you know, I do think about, you know, with everything that's going on in the race relations, you know, there's a black headliner, black MC than me. I mean,
I think people want that.
I think so too. But you know, you understand. My whole comedy career is basically being loved by black people.
Right. If you're not, you're right. It's not going to work, right? The whole idea.
But no, I don't mean that's my jokes. I mean, that's what I get.
Right. No, I got it.
Even if I work at a club and everyone's white, the staff is usually half black and they always gravitate towards me.
Right.
So my whole experience in comedy
is contradictory to what we're being told
exactly.
in the world is going on in the world.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. And hopefully that dynamic doesn't change because not just for you, it's just not good for the world. You know, I almost tweeted this the other day. And then I'm like, it's really so innocuous that nobody should be bothered by it, but I thought better of it. But I was going to say, I like almost all the black people that I meet, and I like almost all the cops that I meet.
Can't say that.
You can't?
I don't know why you can't. You just, I don't, you, well, of course you can.
Keep it to yourself, Joe.
But it's just there's no point.
I didn't tweet it. But I just want people to know I really want to like
But then
people.
What's the intention of you saying
For
that?
For me
then
saying,
that's,
hey,
then
guys,
that's
let's like each other. Yeah, I got you.
Right.
So, well, that had intent. Obviously.
Well, the other comedy news is I reached out to SiriusXM. I guess they follow me on Twitter, so you could direct message on Twitter. You know, this is back when the quarantine started, and I put out the album, hey, I want to get my album played. And then, like a month later, they responded and they gave me a submission thing. And you got to download this whole, you know, form, and it's a big process. And you got to fill out all this information, and then you got to describe the jokes and the keywords, and it's time staking. Is that the word?
Yeah.
But anyway, I finally submitted, and then they emailed right back and said, "Oh, can you submit it this way?" Which I thought was good that I'm actually talking to a person. So then I think nothing of it. A month goes by. They say, yeah, we've accepted two of your tracks. They've been ingested into the system, and that for...
Do you get paid for that?
Yeah. For there's a couple comedy channels that it'll be on. They said the Raw Dog, which is the main, their dirty channel, and then Jeff and Larry's Comedy Roundup, which is Jeff Foxworthy and Larry the Cable Guy's channel.
Right up your alley. Your kind of comedy.
We'll see. So
it does. Now, you've listened to, do you have XM or Sirius? Do you have
I
that?
Don't, but I've listened in the past.
Yeah, I've had it, and I've been listening to Comedy Channel, and I've heard my own clip, and that always makes you feel good.
Yeah, well, back when they were playing my old stuff, I mean, I was making, you know, $400 to $700 a month just off royalties.
You know what I was making?
Nothing.
Yeah, and it's weird because I remember I was doing
What were they playing?
So I'll tell you exactly what they're playing. So, and I've told this story before, but I was at the Improv with Rich Foss and Bonnie McFarlane.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was the MC. And I will say it was the height of my career. I've never been funnier. It was the funniest I've ever been was that weekend. And they came and they recorded for Sirius XM.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Okay. And it was that guy who had one hand. Remember, he used to bring his own beer to the club.
Yeah,
that
Joel was, Haas.
Yeah, it was that guy.
Uh-huh.
So I fucking destroyed.
Nice.
And they had a bunch of clips from that, and I remember having to sign something that basically gave my intellectual property away. Now, after I gave it away, I remember Bonnie McFarlane saying, I don't want to give my intellectual property away. There was a whole nother story, which I'm not going to tell about her performance, but she didn't want to give her intellectual property away. And I remember being like, what's the big deal? But it is a big deal. It is. And I wish in hindsight I had said, what is it? It's ego just to hear yourself on there. Did nothing for my career other than to give them content. Right. And so if I had to do all over again, I would have said, nah, I'm not interested in that. Honestly, I'd rather be paid for what I do.
Our friend J.L. Covan has made $100,000 over the years putting out albums every year and a half or so.
By the way, have you heard? Them played. Now, you know, it's JL. He put out his first. There was one video he had that went viral, and now he has like 112,000 followers or something.
Yeah, just
like that.
Dominating with his Trump impression, his elite Trump impression.
And there's this other, I guess she's a comedian, Sarah Cooper. I don't know what she is.
It's
but
so funny.
Maybe she's a comedian, maybe she isn't. But what she does is she voices over, and it's funny. It's really funny.
She lip syncs.
She lip syncs to the president talking, and then you see her acting out kind of what's being said. And I think it's really, really funny. But somehow they're calling JL a hack. Like he's meanwhile, they're just two comics doing something. And if I'm
and
being
they're
honest,
two different things.
But the other thing is maybe I'm too close to it. Clearly, I feel like what JL is doing requires a lot more. I feel like it does.
Well, he has to write the material.
He's got to write the material. He has to do the impression. Yes. So I don't want to have to defend it, but this other person, she was just on Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
From just saying just moving her lips to say the same thing that the president said. Now, she does some things that make it really, really funny, and I don't want to downplay how funny it is what she does, but it's not what JL does.
No, but I don't know why people were trying to pit them
against
each other.
And then they're like, no, fuck you. You're doing the same thing. And it's crazy. So then I'm like, well, obviously, if I'm going to have to choose sides, I'm going to choose the person that I have a relationship with and also who I also happen to know is doing something more difficult.
I'm also
going to
choose the one that's doing stand-up comedy, which is essentially what he's doing.
Of course, yes. So I'm going to choose that. But it is.
Who would you choose to play guitar? Air guitar? Or Eddie Van Halen.
right, exactly. give me a second. Whose air guitar are they doing?
Right. Yeah, okay. Hendrix. Oh, yeah. Well, that counts.
All right, there you go.
But I just, you know, I got to admire J.L. as he watches Seattle with the Chaz, the autonomous zone, just taking over, and the governor of that state. That's
his.
He
his
looks
boy.
At it and he goes, that's my president.
Yeah,
right there.
Yeah.
The guy that lets that happen. That's my guy.
Is he defending it? I haven't heard that.
I have no idea.
Me either. I you know what? Honestly, I won't. I can't look. I literally can't look.
J.L.
Covan is such a fucking troll. That's a great drop.
Our buddy Danny Rugier was in a sketch with J.L. back in the day when he lived in New York City, if I remember
correctly.
Was
it a sketch or did they do like a web series of some kind? It was just a sketch.
Maybe they did both. Right. I don't know. But he has a podcast out because I remember we did a gig about a year ago and he was trying to, how can I make extra money? And I'm like, well, podcasting. There's tens of thousands of dollars. But he has it. Do you have the email, Robbie? I want to get the name right exactly.
It's called something about interesting people, isn't that it? It's called You Seem Interesting.
It sounds good because he's on 106.7 The Fan with Grant Paulson. They do,
and that's a monster station.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Danny's really good at interviewing people. He's smart. He knows all the words, but he's just basically interviewing interesting people. And I know he did our buddy Roy Scovel.
It was on this show one time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know he did some FBI agent. Why can't I find the
I got it right here. You want it?
There you go. Yeah. Just read it out.
It's
I want people to listen to it.
Okay.
It's a friend of ours.
Well, here's first. I hope you're all healthy, happy, and safe. Blah, 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 blah. In addition to my daily radio show on 106.7 The Fan, I have started a new project that I'm really excited about. It's a new weekly show called You Seem Interesting. Each week, I'll learn about an industry and interview someone with a unique job. We'll talk about triumphs, failures, hidden challenges, and get into things that people wouldn't normally know. It's been a lot of fun so far. Episode 1 featured his good friend, comic, TV, and movie star Rory Scovel. Episode 2 featured an FBI special agent who tracked some of the most dangerous fugitives in the U.S. Episode 3 was ABC News congressional correspondent Mary Bruce. And this week's episode will feature the brewmaster at a craft brewery, diverse array of guests, and we plan on the same going forward. The show is produced by my brother-in-law, Andrew Russell. Now, his other brother-in-law, by the way, is Tony Gracis, comedian Larry Poon.
Yes.
I wonder why I didn't choose him.
Well, my question, that's my question to you, Joe. How many episodes in until he reaches out to one of us to be on the show?
Well, he's already done a comedian. What is it that now, you know, and here's the thing.
He would pick Justin before us.
He
right?
would, but why would he choose somebody in radio? I mean, he would do Justin, I guess, but...
Well, Justin has the wrestling thing, and he's got the murder mystery and comedy.
Yeah,
and
but he
radio.
Has Rory Scovel, and Rory is, you know, he was in a... Why can't I think of her name?
He was in an Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer. That's, he was in an Amy Schumer
co-star,
movie.
Yeah, the love interest.
He was in a network television show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying he's going to get to Justin soon. I'm just saying he'll get to Justin before he'll get to Rob or Joe.
But I'm just saying we do the same thing. So what do? We do radio, that he knows more famous people in radio. We do stand-up, he knows more famous people in stand-up. I do sports broadcasting, he knows more.
Yeah, but are they willing to do the show? It's not just knowing them.
Well, hell, in sports broadcasting, he literally go to his own station and interview
sports
one
junkies,
of the sports junkies
Chad
in there.
Dukes,
yeah.
I mean, he's friends with Ryan Zimmerman, who's, you know, the Nationals, been on the Nationals his entire career.
I don't think he was in his wedding. I think he was at his wedding.
No, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. I've never been in. I'm trying to think the most famous wedding I've been invited to.
I've been to yours. That's it.
Probably it. Yeah, my own.
So you're saying he won't get to us in the first year of this?
I don't think he ever gets to us. I don't think he gets to us. He might reach out to you to see if he can get to David Koechner, but he's not going to. Yeah, I mean, he's not going to talk to us.
I would like to hear him interview Larry Michael.
Hey, did I ever tell you?
That's one person that wants
to. Did I ever tell you I sat with Larry Michael? Did I tell the story on here?
Larry Michael was the voice of the Redskins broadcast, radio broadcast. He was a super homer.
Danny does a great impression of him.
All right, well, I'll tell that story on the other side.
All right, let's take a break and wrap this up. Rob and Joshua.
Rob's new album is now available for download. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You say an hour. Foreplay. I know, I understand. He doesn't have that much foreplay in him. This guy, he's got like three moves. He fucking does them in reverse and then six, but it's really the same fucking move. You know what he's doing. Left to right, right to left. It's fucking, what's he? Yeah. He's drinking White Claw. He's giving up. I mean, the fucking guy is just giving up on life. He stopped trying. It's like, I mean, he's like, do you have a cucumber, berry, grape? Seltzer water with one calorie that if I drink 17 I can still drive legally. Do you have that? I'd like to get a bucket of that, please. Yes. You took a DNA test and you're 100% basic bitch, okay? They're good as shit, though. They're fucking tasty. All right. You can drive a school bus legally. It doesn't fucking matter.
All proceeds go to the Rob Mayer Relief Fund. Please visit robmayer.com for more info. The cheer you need is here, just in time. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You could use the laughs. I could use the money.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Thank you, Gramps.
Yeah, so it was a, there was a, somebody died.
Oh, cool.
Who
good story.
Was involved with ballroom boxing.
Okay.
And ballroom boxing was a boxing event that was held at Michael's 8th Avenue, which is some little like the La Fontainebleau, some tiny event center where somebody might have a prom or a wedding reception. That's where it was, right?
Right.
And this person was involved in ballroom boxing, and so was my former landlord, Dave, okay? And he's like, hey, you know, I'm having this event, and here's what it costs. And I said, yeah, I'll support what you do. And we bought
tickets
or whatever.
This.
We did it. And Larry Michael sat at our table. And Dave, you know, was trying to, like, hey, this is this person. Now, Joe, he does radio for the Baltimore Ravens. He does the pregame on the flagship. This guy couldn't have given a fuck. He couldn't have. He was like, I'm not interested at all. Like, I don't give a fuck what this guy does. So I don't know that he's a dick. I'm not implying that. But he wasn't interested. He didn't say, oh, wow, we have a similar background, which I'm not acting like I'm him.
If he hasn't heard of you,
then you're not.
He's probably heard of everybody.
He had heard of me.
Right.
Well, I'm on the flagship.
Yeah. Oh, he probably knows that that's 98 Rock, that it's a music station.
Yeah.
It's not a sports station.
Yeah.
For all we know, 98 Rock could be the sports pregame show laughing stock of the league.
Yeah, well, it probably is. Yeah. But he couldn't have given a shit, and that was pretty much the last thing we said to one another.
Oh, good times. What are you watching on TV as we have nothing to do these days? Anything good, Joe?
I think I've been pretty vocal about the shows that I've watched. I just finished the Jeffrey Epstein documentary.
That.
Have we talked about that yet, about the Jeffrey Epstein documentary?
Okay, we haven't.
I want to say one thing. I said something last week that all the girls were telling the truth. I want to say one more thing.
Okay.
Okay. And then we'll talk about shows. But so Jeffrey Epstein had, I guess, a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. You might know her name, but I guess she's in hiding or something like that, whatever it is. And they talk about her a lot. And she was this person who had this magnanimous personality. She was good looking. She could walk into a room. She knew how to charm everybody. Everybody liked her. She was instantly likable. So she had this gift that she literally could have used to become anything she wanted to become. And what she did with that gift was found children for Jeffrey Epstein to have sex with. So it just, what the fuck is going on in this world, right? You could have been anything. And that's what you choose to do with your gift.
A beautiful woman who's charming sell people.
Yes.
Can write their ticket.
That now, obviously, there's a million takeaways from this, but that's the thing that resonated with me. It's like, you fucking
just
never
takeaway
know.
Is that she's the evil one.
She's certainly, she's sinister.
Right.
Obviously.
Sure.
No, they're all sinister. But clearly, one's a sociopath. We know that.
Yeah.
But she's got to be, too. How do you get from A all the way to Z, and Z is just so fucking horrific. Do you get there one step at a time? Do you ever say, oh my God? And one more
thing.
That's
who Danny Ruggiero should get on a show.
Jeffrey Epstein?
No, the girl.
Children are hot and I want to have sex with them. Thanks. So, okay, love that clip. I just lost my train of thought, but it was about Jeffrey Epstein.
He got turned on for a second.
I forget it. I don't remember what I was going to say. No, Jeffrey Epstein's a bad guy. That's
yes.
what I was going to
oh,
say.
Oh, good. Yeah. Thank you. Glad we got that in. I finished your, obviously I watched Dave, love that, but
God,
I finished
Dave's so
good. What was the Jewish, the girl, the,
Oh yeah. And Robbie had already watched
the
it.
How's it called?
Yeah.
Orthodox.
Yeah. Unorthodox. Yeah.
Unorthodox.
What'd you think of that show?
I thought it was
God,
powerful.
I thought it was so excellent. Yeah.
I thought it was, she was incredibly,
And I
powerful.
Haven't really heard anybody talking about it. And, you know, it's just like my dad jerking off and there being an email threatening to extort him for money. You know, Robbie, you should be letting us know about shows like Unorthodox.
Yeah, Robbie.
You know, you'll talk about Peaky Blinders
and
fucking Bad John, but you can't tell me when something like Unorthodox is available?
Do you have...
I'll give you a tip.
Okay, go ahead.
It's a UK show. It's filmed in Ireland. It's called Normal People. 12 episodes. You know about it?
No, who's in it? Anybody I would know?
There's no stars, but these two actors that
stars
are in it are
Bono.
Great.
Okay, Normal People. Okay, got it.
And it's like 30-minute episodes, 12 of them, and I'm completely wrapped up in these two people's relationship. There's full nudity, men and women.
Hey, now.
All right, keep talking.
Lead with that.
And
is it better than Outlander? Is it called Outlander? Yeah, is it better than Outlander?
It's completely different from Outlander. This is a contemporary.
I just wonder if it's better because there's naked people having sex, hot naked people having sex in that too.
You know, I've watched every episode of that Outlander, but I was way more wrapped up in these two actors' relationship than I've ever been in. Yeah,
Robbie, are you excited about the announcement of the first black male bachelor on your favorite show?
I haven't heard about this.
Yeah, I don't know who he is or where he's from. I think he's some loosely connected to the show somehow.
Is it Robbie's friend Phil?
It is not Robbie's friend Phil.
Oh, no. Is it somebody who's been on the show before?
I don't believe so. Just type in The Bachelor, Joe. It'll come right up.
All right. Here we go.
Because I typed it in earlier and it came
the
right back.
Bachelor. Yep. Okay, here we go.
His name's Brian something.
And it says, there it is. Okay. Told Matt James. Is that it?
Maybe it's Matt James.
Is it Matt James? Okay. Claire Crawley wasn't told Matt James was cast as The Bachelor.
Because they were shooting The Bachelorette, but they had to stop it for COVID, so now they're going right to The Bachelor.
The next Bachelor, Matt James. There we go. The Bachelor's Matt James. You know who that is, Robbie?
Never seen that guy before.
Let's see.
If Claire's season was canceled, I'll be happy.
You don't like Claire?
I'm tired of Claire. She's been on like 5 seasons. She's been on The Bachelor in Paradise multiple times.
Who is Matt James? Everything you need to know about the new Bachelor. He's 28. He's the first ever black lead on The Bachelor in the history of the franchise. We know we have responsibilities to make sure the love stories we're seeing on screen are representative of the world we live in. Blah, blah, blah. Diversity. We feel privileged. Matt is The Bachelor. Let me see. Here he is. He's leaning against a Rolls Royce.
Nice.
That's good to know. So I assume he's rich.
What's he do?
He drives a Rolls Royce, so I assume he's got a good job, right?
Yeah, you would think he's well.
Even
off.
He had that a Rolls Mercedes. Royce.
That's a prop.
Well, they usually are successful.
No, I'm not saying that he's not successful. I'm just telling you, right. Whenever you watch The Bachelor, those cars that they drive around, they're just props.
All right, let's find out. We're going to do Matt.
Robbie's an expert on
James.
All things The Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Profession. Here we go. He is modeling. No, he came to New York to pursue a modeling career and is currently living large.
Shocker.
In, I don't know what that is.
Well, he's
is.
A handsome guy.
Yeah, he's good looking.
Of course, yeah.
Yes.
So I assume he's a younger contestant. He's only 28. Is that younger than normally? Lives in New York City.
Yeah, the Bachelors are usually over 30.
Okay.
Will this affect Robbie's ability? You know, he only has one black friend, so is he going to be able to still pick the winner?
Yeah.
How could he put himself in the mind of this Brian James fella?
Here he is, this guy. He's staying next to this guy. This guy's jacked. So apparently this guy runs marathons.
Okay.
He also played football at Wake Forest.
All right, cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's your next Bachelor.
Well,
hey, how long do you think till they have a gay Bachelor?
Well, that feels like that should be an entirely different show, right?
The gay Bachelor?
Yeah. I mean, they've had gay dating shows.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, but isn't by making the distinction?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think that that's...
I think they'll have one in the next 5
Hello?
Years.
I think you'd say, well, why...
What's up, man?
Why, stop, Chris or Steve. Why would it be different? I'll bet you that the next, when they have a gay Bachelor, which they will,
mm-hmm.
I'll bet it's within the next 3 years, and I'll bet it's called The Bachelor.
Part of the French kiss, Chris or Steven.
Well, part of the allure of the show is the women watch and they are attracted to the men, right? Isn't that?
Well, women can be attracted to gay men,
but
and
not,
then you also just love, right? Isn't that the whole point of it? Because, by the way, I thought about
theory,
this. There's this guy who writes for a Ravens internet site,
mm-hmm.
and he also he does a podcast. Who cares? That's not important. His name's Michael Telford, I believe is his name.
Okay.
And he has a girlfriend, and all those guys do is talk about how much they love each other, and she talks about, you know, blowing him in the morning. And I love it. Like, I love when people love each other. I love that. So I'm not sure, and maybe you have to kind of put yourself in their shoes, and it's easier to put yourself in the shoes of someone who likes the same sex that you like, so maybe. But if there's a gay Bachelor, Robbie's going to watch.
I mean, I'll watch, but I'm watching
I'm not watching either.
I'm watching it just for the drama. That's what I'm watching.
You think
for.
There'd be any drama on the gay Bachelor?
No, not a chance.
Robbie, would you watch the gay Bachelor?
I would watch the gay Bachelorette.
Really? What? Are you homophobic?
Well, it's not that I'm homophobic. I don't. The women are what's interesting about the show. The women are usually creating the most drama, not the men. So if it's all men, I probably won't be interested.
Right, Robbie, but gay men are going to create drama, a lot of it.
Yeah, but that's all what Bravo TV is.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
And I don't watch any of those shows.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
All right, well,
I'm only going to watch The Gay Bachelor. I'm not going to watch any other. Yeah, that's the other thing. Well, you know, if they have the Gay Bachelorette, and then the Gay Bachelorette is some supermodel, they're going to be like, that's mm-hmm. not representative of the gay female community. Right? Are people going to be bothered by that?
They might be. Well, we have a bisexual character in our Bachelor murder mystery.
Yeah, we do that a lot. We've had several bisexual characters in our
Murder
well, that's how we roll. All right, guys. So come to Magoobies this weekend, the 19th and the 20th. See me tell jokes again. Real live comedy. It's back, baby. Couldn't stop us. And anyway, thanks. We'll see you next week.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.